Logistics organizational structure. Most organizations now recognize the importance of logistics and supply chain management to their organizations, but traditional organizational structures that split logistics up among several departments might still exist simply due to inertia or because it is a deliberate choice. When logistics is separated like this, extra care needs to be taken to communicate and build internal relationships, which is a form of cross-functional leadership. Cross-functional leadership also encompasses developing relationships with non-logistics areas like finance or sales. Logistics managers and professionals need to know how to work across many functional areas effectively to ensure that everyone is aligned on the strategy, tactical plans, and desired outcomes of the organization. When logistics interfaces well with other parts of the organization, they can, in turn, achieve greater results. Being able to orchestrate or lead cross-functionally is an important leadership competency a logistics manager or professional should possess to help the business or organization achieve success in serving its customers. After introducing various types of organizational structures, we address centralization versus decentralization. Types of structures. Types of organizational structures that logistics professionals might encounter include the functional structure without or with a logistics functional area, the matrix structure, and the network structure. Note that we use an example of a manufacturing company here. Different types of organizations will naturally have different primary functions. In addition, these are just examples of generic organizational charts. Such charts will differ considerably in their details and will usually have more sublevels than are shown in any of the following. Functional organizational structure with no logistics functional area. The functional organizational structure is defined by the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary as an organizational structure based on functional specializations such as sales, engineering, manufacturing, finance, and accounting. It is a traditional hierarchical structure organized around departmental authority. This creates a silo effect, where work done in one functional area is a world unto itself, like a series of grain silos. Budgets and control allow for good functional area optimization, but the chief problems in this model are suboptimization and slow transfer of information or deliverables. In other words, the functional structure creates a fragmented logistics structure. Even an area like inventory management might be fragmented, with raw materials being part of operations and finished goods part of sales and marketing or distribution management. In such situations, minimizing inventory in total becomes very challenging since each functional area has an incentive to keep its own safety stocks. Exhibit 9-1 shows a functional organizational chart with no specific logistics functional area. Exhibit 9-1, functional structure, no logistics functional area. Note that each of the organization's main functional areas contains portions of logistics. Procurement directs physical supply, and perhaps there would also be a contract administration function. Manufacturing directs materials management, which might include production planning and raw materials warehousing. Sales directs order management, as well as physical distribution, which could include inventory management, warehouse management, distribution requirements planning, transportation, and contract management. Finally, finance sets goals for department budgets, including the portion of each budget related to logistics. It also conducts accounting and so on. It should be clear that improving coordination in this arrangement will require significant work, such as unofficial leadership efforts. When a supply chain manager or logistics manager role is added to a functional structure, it could be as a coordinator with insufficient authority, or it could be a high-level management position as another layer of hierarchy. An example of the latter is a distribution manager with authority over planning and control, operations, and inventory management functional areas. In some cases, this results in a dedicated logistics department, which moves from a fragmented to a unified structure, at least for the parts of logistics in that department. While different levels of logistics integration maturity can exist at an organization, how that integration is achieved can take many different and valid forms. However, a functional organizational chart that has no logistics functional area will have more difficulty in creating higher levels of logistics integration than other types, and so would likely enable no higher than a semi-functional enterprise level of supply chain maturity. Level 2 of the 5-stage model addressed elsewhere. Functional structure with logistics functional area. Exhibit 9-2 shows a functional organizational chart in which a logistics department has been created. Exhibit 9-2, functional structure with a logistics functional area. In this structure, higher levels of integration maturity are possible. Note the examples of second-level logistics management positions. These would vary depending on the type of organization and its logistics needs. In this structure, the other functional areas have no direct say in managing areas of logistics that are related to them, such as procurement not directing physical supply. Clearly, a high degree of cooperation is still required. Matrix organizational structure. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines this structure as an organizational structure in which two or more channels of command, budget responsibility, and performance measurement exist simultaneously. For example, both product and functional forms of organization could be implemented simultaneously, that is, the product and functional managers have equal authority and employees report to both managers. In a matrix organizational structure, supply chain and logistics management may or may not be functional areas on their own. However, supply chain and logistics managers may be given cross-functional authority over planning and process for their areas of concern, while functional department managers retain operational authority over their staff. This recognizes the need for a planning role to reorganize processes from a systems perspective while keeping operational functions efficient and accountable to a specialized manager. However, it does create two bosses for some employees, for example, a procurement boss and a logistics boss, who could give conflicting directions. Exhibit 9-3 shows a matrix organizational chart with logistics and a few other cross-functional processes. This type of chart is also conducive to higher levels of logistics integration. Exhibit 9-3, matrix structure with logistics as cross-functional area. Known how logistics can now create a cohesive logistics strategy and policies, work to optimize the total cost of all functions, set a budget that is specific to logistics, rather than being a series of sub-budgets in other areas, and perform other coordination and administrative activities. The individual verticals could still exercise a degree of control over related logistical elements. A matrix structure is also common at organizations that run multiple distinct projects, in which case each distinct project becomes the cross-cutting element and logistics might have a representative on each project. Another example is a series of cross-cutting product lines, each with distinct logistics needs, such as one line using container ships and another using air. Process-oriented structure. A process-oriented structure orients itself around processes rather than functions. It requires cross-functional collaboration and teamwork, which may require some amount of centralization to coordinate. The idea is to study the value chain and create value-adding processes. For example, the order management process would flow from order receipt and entry to credit check, order prioritization, order picking, packing, and shipping. Value is created when the process as a whole flows smoothly. This is accomplished by training and empowering teams and persons closest to the activity to make independent decisions. The structure depends on highly skilled employees who need little supervision. These become self-directed work teams, and the overall process coordination occurs through rapid sharing of information between teams using automated methods and interconnected information systems. Here are some examples of logistics processes that could have their own process owner, and for each likely process team representation is listed. New product development and launch process owner. Team, new product development, new product introduction, marketing, production, procurement, and logistics. Product lifecycle support process owner. Team, finance, procurement, customer service, and logistics. Demand planning process owner. Team, marketing, sales, production, finance, information technology, IT, and logistics. Customer relationship management, CRM, process owner. Team, customer service, marketing, sales, IT, and logistics. Order management, fulfillment, and service delivery process owner. Team, customer service, order processing, sales, accounting, and logistics. Manufacturing custom orders process owner. Team, production, sales, procurement, and logistics. Supplier relationship management and collaboration process owner. Team, procurement, production, and IT. reverse logistics process owner. Team, customer service and logistics, network structure. The network organizational structure is also based on integration of end-to-end processes, but this model radically reorganizes teams so that the network itself is a loose collection of decentralized, independent units that are self-organizing and work toward a common goal via relationships, partnerships, alliances, and so on. The strengths of a network structure are agility and customer focus. It satisfies emerging customer needs quickly, in part by allowing custom orders to be evaluated for profitability and decided upon at lower organizational levels. It is agile in that it delays committing to production or other irrevocable courses of action until later in the cycle when better information on demand is known. A version of a network structure is a customizable network of parties such as subsidiaries, independent organizations, or competitors who have similar logistics needs and have decided to cooperate, at least on logistics, because the parties serve many of the same intermediate and ultimate customers and can use many of the same logistics service providers, SPs, and suppliers, it makes sense to collaborate on logistics to reduce total costs or improve service for all parties, for example, by combining two parties' LTLs into one TL for a given customer. Exhibit 9-4 shows an organizational chart for a network of organizations. Exhibit 9-4, Network Organizational Structure, Network of Multiple Organizations. Note the channel masters in the center. These are the independent or semi-independent organizations that have chosen to develop a network. The supplier networks organized by the LSPs may have some overlap. The network of suppliers and customers that best serves the particular need at hand will be customized from the available options. Cohesive communications methodologies, including information technology, will be important to ensuring optimization. For an LSP, an organizational chart would need to include some additional second-level management positions due to the fact that it is an independent organization. These might include fleet manager, sales manager, marketing manager, finance manager, credit and collections manager, and so on. Centralization versus decentralization. Functional structures tend to be more centralized, while matrix and network structures are more decentralized. Centralization versus decentralization also can manifest itself as part of geographic or regional arrangements. Organizations can decide to have some types of logistics decisions be centralized and others decentralized. Exhibit 9-5 compares these methods of control. Centralized structures can use information systems such as control towers to enable managing the network directly from the corporate level while providing detailed procedures and policies for other areas. Centralized structures, for example, can require that all offices use a particular shipping contract that has a volume discount. Decentralized structures could allow complete autonomy or could build in some guidelines and or rules into information systems while still enabling the desired level of autonomy.